Well, a very good evening and welcome to our Wednesday Bible study. Another Wednesday in lockdown, another Wednesday when we're all in our burrows. But the joy, the delight of being able to open God's word together and then later to seek his face in prayer. So let's commit our time to the Lord now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet around an open Bible. And Lord, as we come to you in and through and by your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that he would be the one to open the scriptures to us. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that he would come and open the word, open our understanding, reveal great and wonderful things out of your law. And that, Lord, we would not be merely hearers of these things, Father. That, like those Emmaus Road disciples, that our hearts might burn within us. And there might be heat, and there might be light, and the truths of your word might root in our hearts, and might feed us, and strengthen us, and encourage us, and grant us the grace to live for your glory. We trust all these things now into your hands. Father, too, we pray you'd wash away our sins. We have, even in lockdown, sinned against you, walked through a dirty world. Wash us and cleanse us and sprinkle the blood upon our consciences that we might have full assurance as we meet together this night, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of tonight's Bible study is A Good Night's Sleep. And some things we'll be saying you will have heard before, but it's all about getting a good night's sleep. So, obvious question is, how have you been sleeping lately? Maybe you've been sleeping absolutely fine, you're into your normal pattern of wakefulness and sleep, the normal patterns of rhythm, normal rhythms of work and rest, no problem at all. Or maybe sleep has been difficult, especially during lockdown where routines have changed, the normal pattern and rhythms of my life have been upset. Not just that, but there are also concerns, aren't there? Concerns for loved ones. Concerns for our health. What about work? What about money? Concerns of just simply being in isolation. Maybe it's been a time when your workload has actually increased, and with that extra loading has come extra cares. And therefore you find yourself lying awake at night. And you should be fast asleep. You think, what am I doing here? I'm wide awake. Well, five things this evening as we think about a good night's sleep. Number one, seek first the kingdom of God. Now, to people who lie awake worrying, Jesus says this, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Says Jesus, all these things that keep you awake at night, he says, your heavenly Father knows. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So don't worry, leave them in his care. I've used this illustration before, not so long ago. His little boy, it's a family holiday. He's strapped into the back of the car, they're soon to set off, but this little boy is looking very anxious. He looks anxiously at his father, and he says, Daddy, what if we get lost? What if the car breaks down? Daddy, what if we run out of food? What does his father do? He smiles. He says, don't worry. Leave it all with Daddy. Daddy knows. He knows the way, and I've had the car serviced, so that should be fine. And we've packed lots of food. Don't you worry about it. Leave it all with me. Isn't that what Jesus is saying here? What's the word that is repeated? We've read from Matthew chapter 6. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount. You'll read a word again and again and again. It's Father. Jesus talking to the children of the Father. And he says to the children of the Father, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, those who don't know the Father, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Jesus is saying to the little children who are sitting in the back of the car, worried, anxious, fretting, don't worry. Your heavenly Father has got everything in hand for the journey home. Don't worry. Let's change the picture. You'll know this little ditty, whatever it's called. For the want of the general, the battle was lost. For the want of a horse, the general was late. For the want of a shoe, the horse wasn't ready. And for the want of a nail, the horse had no shoe. So what's the point? Well, it's saying, isn't it? Big things depend upon little things. For the want of a general, the battle was lost. But why was the general delayed? Well, ultimately, it was because there wasn't a nail for the shoe for his horse. The outcome of the battle, you might say, depended upon that nail. Big things depend on little things. So, Christian friends, what's the big thing in this context? Well, it's getting the children home, isn't it? Getting the children home, safely home, to the Father's house, to glory, and making those children as beautiful and as holy as their elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the big thing. But the big thing depends on little things, doesn't it? Getting them home to glory, the big thing depends upon little things. Little things like, well, like the hairs on your head. Would you notice if you lost a hair from your head? Now, I know that some men may keep a running total. But with honestly, would you notice if you lost a hair? No, a hair is a very little thing. But the Father has got that little thing covered. Jesus will later say, Matthew chapter 10, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head, the tiniest things, are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. So the Father's got the big thing covered, getting you home to glory. And because big things depend upon little things, it means the Father has got the little things covered too. He's got the nail for the horse's shoe. He's got the hairs on your head. Even they are numbered. Even they are in hand. He's got the big things sorted, getting you home to glory. He's got the little things sorted, numbering even the hairs on your head. Big things, little things, and everything in between. The Father has covered. The Father is looking after it. So says Jesus, don't worry, for the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Don't worry. Leave them in his care. He's got it covered, from the nail to the battle, from the hairs of our head to getting home to glory. One of the problems is, though, of course, is that we can be too busy with our own plans, too busy with our own ambitions, too busy with pleasing ourselves, and that's what we worry, they're kind of disappearing into the distance. But we're believers, aren't we? We've handed over our lives to Jesus. My life doesn't belong to me anymore. My life belongs to him. And isn't he in control? So, Christian friend, if you've handed over control to the Lord, then live to please him, and he will look after everything else. Jesus keeps the lines very, very simple, doesn't he? You know, we're looking this way, we're looking that way. What about this? What about that? He says, no, no, no. Keep it simple. Live to please him. Have no ambition except to glorify him. You've handed over your life to him. It's now his. Live for him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that we're in danger of worrying about, all these things will be added to you. You look after the first thing, says Jesus. Live for my glory, and I'll look after everything else. Don't worry. Number two. Okay, seek first the kingdom of God. But what if it's the kingdom of God that's keeping you awake? You know, some people, they lie in bed. I say some people, I've never met anyone who actually does this. But supposedly, they lie in bed counting sheep. And by counting sheep, they fall asleep. But what if it's the sheep that are keeping you awake? What if it's concerns for the kingdom? Well, we looked at Matthew. We're going to look at Psalm 127. Psalm 127. And it says this, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Talks about a house to be built. Talks about a city that's to be kept safe. Maybe the house is the temple. Maybe the city is Jerusalem. Now, looking at it with New Testament eyes, we see the temple, Jerusalem. We see the kingdom of God. We see the local church. We see the people of God. So what if our concern is actually with the kingdom of God? Okay, well, what does the psalmist say? It says, building the house. Who labours in building the house? Answer, we do. But who actually builds the house? Well, says the psalmist, the Lord does. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labour in vain. So the outcome, the building of the house, is in God's hands, not mine. Okay, the safety of the city. Who is to stay alert? Well, we are. But who keeps the city safe? The Lord does. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So the outcome, the safety of the city, doesn't depend upon me, on my staying awake. The outcome depends upon the Lord. So there's this kind of two things at work here, aren't there? What does the Lord expect of me? The Lord expects me to work hard. He's given me a work to do. He says, get on with it. Work hard, work diligently, serve me. That's the work he's given me to do. But he doesn't expect me to carry the weight of the outcome of my service. The outcome of my service, the house, the outcome of my service, the safety of the city, if you like, the success of our service, doesn't depend upon me. It depends upon him. It's not in my hands. It's in his hands. I may be doing the labouring, but he's building the house. I may have to stay alert, but he's the one who keeps the city safe. He watches over the city. It's his work, not mine. So he doesn't expect me to carry on my shoulders the weight of the outcome of my service, because that weight is crushing. He takes responsibility for the progress of the work. He takes responsibility for the outcome of the work. He takes the weight of that on his shoulders, and not to take it on my shoulders. Now, you can see where this is going. If I think it's all down to me, the house will never be built without me. The city will never be safe without me. It's all down to me. I'm carrying the weight of all of this. The responsibility is mine. What will happen? Well, I'll work harder and longer I'll get up earlier and earlier. I'll stay up later and later because it's all down to me and I can't rest. I've got to carry the weight of it all. And pushed by my fears and guilt and the sheer stress of it all, and underneath it all, an unwillingness to trust him with the outcome, I am, in the words of the psalmist, filled with anxious toil. In other words, I'm worried sick. I lie awake worrying. So I get up earlier and earlier, stay up later and later, working harder and harder, because I've got to build the house. I've got to keep the city safe. But if I believe the outcome is in his hands, he's building the house. And sometimes the Lord does take his time. Sometimes there are things in which I'm engaged, well, like the building of that temple. Sometimes it may take much longer than I would anticipate. Sometimes the Lord takes his time. Sometimes the works of God take generations. He builds the house. He keeps the city safe. And if I believe the outcome is in his hands, what will happen? Well, I shall work hard. I'll do what he's given me to do. I'll fulfill my calling. I'll do my part, do the work he's given me to do. But I won't try to be God and do it myself. I won't try to carry the outcome of my service on my shoulders. The outcome of my service is in his hands, which means I look at a situation and think, well, I've worked hard today. I fulfilled what God has given me to do. I've done the work today, enough for today. Enough for today, no more emails. It's time to rest, time to sleep. Because the Lord carries the weight of this, not me. And therefore, as I trust him, I find sleep. The only one who doesn't need to sleep is God. Only God is competent to carry the weight of these things on his shoulders. They will crush me. I'll eat the bread of anxious toil. He doesn't want me to carry the crushing weight of the outcome of my service. He wants me to stop, to rest, to relax, to sleep. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early and go late to rest, thinking it's all down to you, eating the bread of anxious toil, worrying yourself sick. For he gives to his beloved sleep. He wants you to sleep. He wants you to rest. He wants you to get into those lovely rhythms of work and rest. Because you're flesh and blood. He's the only one who doesn't have limits. He's the only one who doesn't have to sleep. We have to sleep. We have to rest. It's not an admission of failure. That's the way God has planned it. That's the way God has made me. And I leave it in his hands. I trusted the outcome to him. Because he gives to his beloved sleep. He wants me to sleep. Number three, moving on. For a good night's sleep, what do you stuff your pillow with? I don't know about your pillow. I like my pillow quite flat. If it's too spongy, I can't get to sleep. So, but what do you stuff your pillow with? To get a good night's sleep, stuff your pillow with the sovereignty of God. What does that mean? It means God is in charge. And because God is God, he's big enough to make sure that all that he's planned happens. So we read, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. God is big enough to make sure all that happens, happens just as he planned. And therefore, that's why all things, From the farthest galaxy to the very hairs on my head, all things work together for the good of his people. Now, I'm going to borrow an illustration. I know some of you have seen this. It's an American illustration. I'm not going to use an American accent. So I'm going to change it to a British illustration. But you've heard this before, some of you. Here's a cricket ball. Put a cricket ball in my hand. How much is it worth? About £10. If I put this cricket ball in the hands of Ben Stokes, how much is it worth? It's worth thousands. It depends whose hand the cricket ball is in. Put 5 loaves, 2 fishes into my hands. What have you got? You got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You put those 5 loaves and 2 fishes into Jesus' hands. What have you got? Enough to feed 5,000 plus. Depends whose hands those 5 loaves and 2 fishes are in. Put my worries in my hands. They're just worries. Nothing's changed. But put those worries in the hands of the one who's in charge. They're not my worries anymore. And in his hands, well, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So in my hands, worries will keep me awake. I empty my hands and put my worries into his hands, the one who works all things together for our good. So how do I put them into God's hands? Well, we pray our worries into his hands. That's how we give our worries to God. We pray them into his hands. When you pray, you're trusting him with your worries. Now, here's a silly illustration. It's a silly story. Here's a village. It's a very close community. Everyone is very close to each other. Everybody knows everyone else living in this village. In one particular house, there's Peter. Peter, he just can't sleep. He's lying awake at night. He's fretting. He's anxious. He's worrying. He can't get sleep. His wife, Mary, says to him, "What's the matter?" And Peter says, "Well, I've ordered a suit from John the tailor. The suit is ready. But I can't afford to pay for it." Well, Mary gets up. She goes to the bedroom window. She opens the shutters, opens the bedroom window. And she shouts across the street to John the tailor. And she shouts, "John! John!" Well, you can imagine, eventually John comes to the window. He opens his window, opens the shutters, and says, "Mary, it's 2 in the morning. What do you want?" Mary says, "Peter's ordered a suit from you." "Yes, he's ready. He says he can't pay for it." And with that, she closes the window and goes back to bed. Peter says, "Well, what was all that about?" Well, says Mary, "I've told John that you can't pay for the suit." He says, "Well, why did you do that?" "Well, now it's his problem, not yours. So go to sleep." Do you see the point? Christian friends, tell God your problem. Tell God your worries. Tell him what the thing is that's keeping you awake. Empty your hands of your worries by placing them into his hands. The hands of the one who works all things together for your good. Tell him, just tell him. It's not his problem. Tell him and go to sleep. Moving on much more quickly now. Number 4. Well, we go to bed a day's march nearer home. You can go to bed in all sorts of states, can't you? You can go to bed as a frazzled worker under pressure, frazzled parent, frazzled something. Or you can go to bed as a pilgrim. A day's march nearer home. Our sorrows will soon be at an end. Our joys are just beginning. And one day soon, I'll open my eyes, I'll awake to see his face. And when I awake, I shall be like him. Says John, when we see him, we shall be like him, we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. Psalm 17 says this, as this is David speaking, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. We go to bed as weary pilgrims. One less day in this cursed world, and one day, a day's march, nearer home. And soon we'll open our eyes and see our beloved. We'll see the King in his beauty and want for nothing more. And we'll open our eyes and we shall be like him. And finally, number five. We talked about this on Sunday. We go to sleep knowing that the storm of God's judgment has passed. All our worries. What's the worst thing that can happen? What does Jesus say? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. They have cause for what to worry, don't they? If you're an unbeliever, you have real cause to worry. But for believers, our greatest calamity has already been sorted out. We've been rescued. The worst thing that can happen won't happen. We've been rescued. We are ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. We're the rescued people. We're the saved people. The worst thing that can happen won't happen because we've been saved. The storm of God's judgment has passed. We live on the other side of the cross. We live in the sunshine and the freshness of the new covenant. Those dark thunderclouds of God's wrath will never muster over our heads. We'll never wake up in the storm of his anger. We live on the other side of the cross, which means that we sleep in a bedroom called peace. We can say, Jesus is mine. We've been rescued from the greatest calamity. The worst thing to happen can't happen because Jesus has rescued us. In Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, he tells us of one of the women. It's in the second story. Her name is Mercy. Bunyan says that she used to laugh in her sleep. Well, may we all this night dream of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have sought to glean some of the instruction and wisdom which you put into your word, because Lord, you know we fret and are fearful and can easily be consumed with worry. We thank you that you are so tender with us. We thank you that we know a Father's smile. We thank you that we know a Father who says, don't worry, it's all in hand. And we particularly tonight bless you and thank you that we do sleep in a bedroom called peace, that the storm has passed. We live on the other side of the cross. And soon we shall awake in the likeness of our Lord Jesus. And we shall see him. And we shall be home. Our gracious God, we pray that you take these truths, and whether sleep has left us at the moment or will leave us in the future, we pray that these truths would come and comfort us and shield us and help us. Oh, gracious God, we pray that tonight for us all, that we might know a rest and a sleep from yourself. We've read, for so you give to your beloved sleep. Give us rest. Give us sleep. Watch over us and keep us. Guard us from every evil. We put our hope and our confidence and our trust in you. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.